sunny day here in Ohio. And some people get so upset about the weather, but I kind of like a bit of a little cold, a little damp. That way when you hit somebody, you feel it for a while. You know what I mean? Like I like this time of year through the holidays, but then come January, give me the sun and warmth, all right? So I'm glad to see you here this morning. It's great to be with you. And a lot's been going on. Excited to hear about the launch of Upwards. And so what a wonderful start that is as well. So thank you for continuing to be on mission as a church and not just coming to church, but being the church throughout the week. Amen. And so God has been moving all across our state, and he continues to move here in Mansfield. When I was with you last month, we kind of walked through Colossians chapter 3. And then if you remember back in April, hard to believe, I preached my first sermon here from Colossians 4. So we've kind of covered the book of Colossians, and so I thought it appropriate today, with Thanksgiving being only in a couple of weeks, to preach a special message called Thanks and Living. Growing up in Memphis, my wife worked for St. Jude Children's Hospital, and my mother-in-law worked for Marlo Thomas, Danny Thomas's daughter there at St. Jude. And she would always, and you're going to see all this on Thanksgiving, you're going to see Marlo come on St. Jude, and she's going to say, thanks and give, thanks and giving. And so I wanted to always twist that around to say, you know, people who have thankful hearts shouldn't just give, they should also live in a thankful way. It reminds me of a story of a woman who went to the store or went to an animal shop, and she bought a parrot. And that parrot had a previous owner, and that previous owner would say a lot of bad words, a lot of cuss words, things that we shouldn't say around here, all right? And so she took that parrot home, and she thought she was going to teach that parrot a thing or two. She said, listen, we don't say these kind of words in this home. And so what she did is she went to Ephesians 4. You know, Ephesians 4 does not say to break habits. Ephesians 4 says to replace. Remember what the Bible says. When is a thief no longer a thief? When he stops stealing? No. When he starts working and earning an honest wage. When's a liar no longer a liar? When they stop lying? No. The Bible says when they start telling the truth. So we often in our culture say we should break habits, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not say to break habits. The Bible says to replace them with good and godly habits. And so this woman says she was going to do that with this parrot. She said, I'm going to teach you Bible verses in Scripture, and you're going to stop saying all these bad words, and you're going to start saying all these good words and quote Scripture. So, okay, so she does that. And so the parrot says a bad word, so she takes that parrot and she throws it in the freezer. And she closes that door. 5 minutes goes by, she opens that freezer, she opens up that parrot, and that parrot's freezing. And she said, I mean business. You're not going to say these words in our home. You're going to quote Scripture. And so the parrot said, okay, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. Well, 2 months go by, and she thought they were on a good stretch. Well, he let out a string of bad words, and she took that parrot, and she threw it in the freezer. I mean, she put it in the deep freeze. And I mean, half an hour went by. She almost froze that parrot to death. And she opens up the freezer, and that thing's almost half dead. And finally, that parrot has to thaw out. And that parrot's thawing out, and he's kind of going, can I ask you a serious question, ma'am? And she said, yes. The parrot said, ma'am, I thought I knew every bad word out there, but I got a question. What did that turkey say to put you in the freezer, put him in the freezer that long? You know what I mean? What did the turkey say, you know? So as we think about Thanksgiving here in a couple of weeks, we think about words and things that we say and things that we do, you know? And so I think it's appropriate that we kind of have a thankful heart in our mindset, because in 2 weeks, we're going to be around family. And so you're already thinking in your head. You know what I mean? Like you, listen, there's people, let's just be honest in church today, there's folks that you love, but you won't go on vacation with them. You know what I mean? Like you're going to cry at their funeral, but you won't go on vacation. The reality is we're going to be around people at Thanksgiving that we love, and then we have to love. And so the mindset's, what kind of words are we going to use? What kind of phrases are we going to say? What's our mindset going to be? One of the things that should mark our lives as Christians, not just at the end of November, but throughout the calendar year, is to have a thankful heart, to have a heart of gratitude and have a heart of thanksgiving. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet as we read God's Word. Just one verse today. And before you think it's a short sermon, because this one verse, you got another thing coming, all right? Because every time I promise a short sermon, I don't deliver, so I'm not going to do that today. But it is just one verse, and it's a verse you know well. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me this moment? Father in heaven, thank you so much for this church, this congregation, this church that is staying focused on mission. Lord, I pray for them as they search for their new pastor. I pray for the leaders. I pray for those who make up this local church body. I pray for the launch of Upwards, Lord, and for the weeks and the months to follow for gospel impact and for gospel opportunity. Lord, it's easy to complain. It's easy to grumble. It's easy to have a fault-finding spirit. But may it not be said of us. May we be marked as believers who are grateful in tough situations and hard circumstances. For this is God's will for us. And it's in Christ's name I do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Tim Keller, who's now in heaven, really showed us as he battled pancreatic cancer for many, many years and is now in heaven. A great theologian, great pastor, very respected among evangelicals, said this: it's one thing to be grateful. It's another to give thanks. Gratitude is what you feel, but thanksgiving is what you do. See, we're not talking about just the feels and the emotions, you know, and that's what my kids at my home say all the time is they like, you know, these phrases continue to evolve like every 6 weeks, you know, and so, you know, you're talking about, man, it's the vibe of the room or it's all getting all the feels and it's all emotions and so many circumstances, and I think Keller's right here. I think for us as believers, this is more than just a vibe. This is more than just getting the feels of Thanksgiving. This is a reality of a way of life. It's one thing to be grateful. It's another one to actually give thanks. It's one thing to know our Bible and to write down notes in your Bible and say all the right Christian little lines. It's a different thing to actually be grateful. It's a different thing to actually know what to do and then do it. Remember what James says? It's not just the one who knows what to do. It's the one who actually, what, does it. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer. It's not the truth you know that changes you, by the way. It's the truth you actually obey. And I'm all for podcasts, and I'm all for study Bibles, and I'm all for conferences, and I'm all for small groups. Those are all good. They're great. They're biblical. But it's not just about constantly going to somewhere and just learning. As Warren Wiersbe used to say, if all your learning doesn't translate into your living, it's time to get a new learning. It's not just about taking in, taking in, taking in, taking in. At some point, there has to be a flip of the switch. At some point, our thankfulness has to translate into how we live our lives. And that's what Keller is saying here. Gratitude is what you feel. There's your vibe. There's your emotions. But thanksgiving is what you do. It's being thankful when you don't really feel it. It's being thankful when you don't want to do it. It's being thankful when you're mad. It's being grateful when you're bitter. It's being thankful when you're holding a grudge. It's being thankful when nothing's going your way. It's being grateful when the bank account isn't what you want it to be. It's being thankful when the doctor gives you a report you don't want to hear. It's being grateful when a relationship you've tried to repair has been severed. It's being grateful when everything that you feel like you want, you're not getting. Isn't it amazing how fast you can feel like you're on top of the world to the world being on top of you? Somebody once said, Pastor Jeremy, you're either in a storm or you're headed into a storm or you're just coming out of a storm. All of us are in one of those three categories. Either you're going into a storm or you're in a storm or you just came out of one. You're like, Pastor Jeremy, I've been in a storm for a while. I would love to see some daylight. Don't forget it's darkest just before the dawn. it's darkest just before the dawn. We have to fight for joy. We got to fight for unity. We got to fight to have Thanksgiving in our heart and in our lives and in our homes and in our churches. We got to fight for it to have a thankful heart on the job, in our offices. We got to fight for it. It doesn't just naturally happen. We have the flesh. We're constantly at war with the flesh all the time. You say, oh, Pastor Jeremy, I'm saved. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. You're still a sinner. And so am I. And I mess up every single day. Who would raise their hand and say, you know what? I mess up and I struggle with things in my life. Yeah. Well, the three of you that didn't raise your hands, you're all liars. So you struggle with lying. All right. So the reality is all of us struggle with something. But we got to choose to fight for our faith. And we got to choose to fight for joy and to choose to have a thankful heart. So this morning, I want to walk through just a few questions. Quickly, number one, where did ingratitude come from? Why do we struggle with an ungrateful spirit? Why do we struggle sometimes to not have a thankful heart and mindset? Why does God have to say in His Word for us to have a thankful heart, to give thanks in all circumstances? For this is God's will. Well, He puts it in there. By the way, there's so much of the Bible. All of it's amazing. But I think, you know, at the end of John, where it says that there's so many things that Jesus did that aren't in the book. There's so much He did. So my mindset is like, what did He do that's not in the book? So when I get to heaven, I've got questions. You know what I mean? Like, I know we're going to fall, we're going to worship, but when I get to heaven, I've got a lot of questions if I get to ask them. Pastor Matt, I don't know if I get to ask questions, but if I do, I got a list. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know what He did. What are the things that Jesus did that we don't have? There's so much there. There's so much there. So the parts that we do have are very important. So why would God put it in His Word in Thessalonians, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will? Because God knows our heart and our flesh. And the temptation is to always grumble. The temptation is to always have ingratitude. The temptation is to always see everything half empty. We don't want to be Eeyore. You know? People like Winnie the Pooh, they don't like Eeyore. You know what I mean? Anybody know an Eeyore? Don't you start elbowing people right now in church. You know what I'm saying? But you know Eeyore, like, woe is me. You know, everything's half empty. Those people frustrate me. You know what I mean? It's like, my goodness, like you could go to some people and say, hey, you want $1 million? Got to pay taxes on it. Good night. Find something to be happy about, you know? Give me something. You know, and we are naturally inclined to have sometimes that Eeyore. And I know there's that, some people have that Pollyanna spirit where everything's, you know, everything, sky's falling. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Somewhere we have to kind of find the middle of the road here and balance, you know, having a good, joyful heart and mindset with being honest, too. And I think ingratitude is something that really comes from the garden. Where did ingratitude come from? Genesis chapter 3. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, did God really ever say you must not eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? Of course, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. And if you do, you're going to die. Oh, you won't die? The serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. And the woman was convinced. In the Hebrew language, this is in the emphatic. It's almost like a shout. She was convinced that she saw the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. She took some of the fruit and ate it. And for all you husbands, start elbowing the wife, saying it was her fault. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. That's why when we have marriage counseling, both people are involved, right? Because in the reality, this is where it started. And it really was an ungrateful and really a mindset of, I don't have enough, a discontent. Eve knew it. Think about it. She said out loud what God said. You know, it's like when you tell your kids to do something, it's like the kid repeating, Mom and Dad said not to do it. Yes, let's repeat it again. Mom and Dad said not to do it. And she repeats it out loud. And still she's deceived. Why? Because she's got a heart of ingratitude for what God, yes, God told me I can have this tree, but I see that tree over there. And see, when we're ungrateful, when we have a heart of ingratitude, it leads to so much demise. Well, God told me I could only have one husband or one wife, but I see that person over there. Or God told me, yeah, I've got a great salary at this job, but I see this way I could cheat my way through and get some more income. See, there's always something lurking the enemy wants to deceive you with. There's always a shortcut. He wants to find a way. You have to look for the hook. And ingratitude really comes from the garden because Eve knew exactly what God said. It's not like she didn't know because she articulates it. God said, this is the tree that you could eat from. I can't go eat that tree. And the enemy shows up and says, oh, is that really what he meant though? I think God's holding out on you. I think he's insecure and afraid because he knows that if you eat from this tree, well, then you're going to be just like him. And he's got competition now. She didn't look for the hook, and she fell for it, and so did Adam. And that's really where a spirit of ingratitude, because she was discontent, she was ungrateful for what God had given, and it wasn't enough. And some of you could be struggling here this morning because you have an ungrateful spirit because you're like, man, this car isn't enough, or this home isn't enough, or this spouse isn't enough, or this church isn't enough. There's always going to be something that you can find a way to have that Eeyore mentality of an ungrateful and a heart of ingratitude. And nothing's wrong with wanting to get a better job that pays more. Nothing's wrong with wanting to get a better home or a nicer car. But there is something wrong with trying to trade in a better spouse. So the one you have is God's will for your life, for the rest of your life. Amen? Husbands, that was your opportunity and you failed. You know what I mean? Like, that, the one you have is the one for your life. Amen? Like, this is it. And it's okay to want to strive for excellence and to increase. Nothing's wrong with that, is that's what the Lord wants for your life. But it is wrong to say, you know what? I'm ungrateful for what I do have. I may not like this car, but I'm grateful for this car. I may not want this house, but I'm grateful for this house. I may not love my job, but I'm grateful for this job. I may not have everything I want in a home relationally, as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, but I'm grateful for my spouse, and I'm grateful for my family, and I'm going to look in the mirror and see what can I do as my part. See, it's having a spirit of gratitude. This is more than just a holiday message. This is a way of life. And Eve was discontent. She had a heart of ingratitude. And so did Adam. And fell. That's really, really where it comes from. 1 Corinthians 10 says this. These things happened as a warning to us. The whole left side of your Bible is very, very important. Sometimes I meet Christians and they're like, I just read the right side. I like the New Testament. Well, and that's why I continue to say, read the whole counsel of God, right? Because one, it's good for us. Number two, they go together. The Old and New Testament go together. Number three, you're going to meet these people when you get to heaven. And when you see Malachi and Obadiah and those people, and they're like, hey, how'd you like my book? And you didn't read it, it's going to be an awkward moment for you. You know what I mean? Like, read the whole counsel of God. The left side of your Bible is to encourage us. It's also to warn us. Did you know that? It's to warn us. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 10, 6 through 11. These things happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil things as they did or worship idols as some of them did. And as the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking and they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble, here we go, and don't grumble as some of them did, as then they were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. This is right here in the Word of God. They are written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. And so the left side of our Bibles, the Old Testament, is good for us. It encourages us. It also serves as a warning for us. And all throughout the Old Testament, you see people who have a grumbling spirit, a heart of ingratitude. Things don't go well for them. I can't find one story in the left side of my Bible where somebody is ungrateful and had a heart of grumbling spirit where it ended well. And we're to read that and let that warn us and encourage us not to have that same spirit. We don't want to run the same play. We got a big game coming up here in a few weeks. Ohio State does. We're going to have to transfer and go across enemy lines to a different state. And I'm hoping that we've learned our lesson from the last game that we had in November of last year, where we're not going to run the same play up the middle every single play. We're going to remember that we have a guy on the outside who wears the number 4. Then if we just throw it up there, he'll come down with it. So maybe we'll learn from the past and read the left side of the playbook and not run the same play this year as we did last year. Can I get an OH? That was terrible. I-O, all right? The reality is we need to read the left side of the Bible and we need to understand and learn from these folks and realize it's a warning to us and it's also an encouragement to us to not have a heart of ingratitude. Romans chapter 1 says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. And through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. And claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools." Notice what it says in Romans 1, they refused to even give him thanks. Having an unthankful heart, a heart of ingratitude, leads to nowhere good. It leads to a very ungodly, unbiblical mindset and spirit when we're not thankful. Jesus asked in Luke 17, "Did not heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Had no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Jesus healed 10 individuals, and only one came back and said, "Thank you." Church, we got to be very, very careful that we don't treat God like a drive-through. We don't just kind of go through and say, "Okay, here's my prayer. Here's my checklist. This is what I need. This is what I want. I need you to hurry up and give me all these things, and I'll see you next Sunday." We need to kind of park the car, get out of the car and stop, and we need to kneel, we need to bow down, we need to worship. We need to say thank you. Do you know almost at the beginning of every New Testament epistle on the right side of your Bible, it begins with these words, "Thank you." I thank my God. Paul is always saying, "I thank my God upon every remembrance. I thank my God for the partnership that we have with you." Paul always said the words, "Thank you." Crazy to say this, almost 2026, I don't hear these words in our culture anymore. I rarely hear anybody say the words thank you. I teach both of my boys to shake somebody in with, you know, with their hand and look them in the eye and say thank you. Keep your head up, put your phone down, look someone in the eye and say thank you. We are creating a new generation and a culture of young leaders who can't say the word thank you, who can't look somebody in the eye. And we've got to reverse that. Paul was always thankful. He always said thank you. And when you tell somebody thank you, it's powerful. And Voss Kemp said, no amount of regret changes the past, and no amount of anxiety changes the future, but any amount of grateful joy changes the present. Church, we can always find something to be thankful for. I know there are bad seasons and there are hard roads. I know that not everything always goes our way. And sometimes the call doesn't happen the way we want it. Sometimes the ball doesn't bounce in our direction. I get it. And you're frustrated, you're mad, you're tired, you're exhausted, you're cranky, you're edgy. You just feel like, man, when is this ever going to change? It's coming in God's time. But our mindset, your response is your responsibility. No one can make you do anything. One of the things my grandparents taught me growing up, it's like, well, this person made me do it. No. Your response is your responsibility. No one can make you do anything. You choose to do this. You choose to have this mindset. You choose to say these words. You choose to respond this way. We can choose a heart of gratitude. And gratitude comes all the way back in the garden. That's where it started. Number two, gratitude is God's plan for your life. Gratitude is God's plan for your life. Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. 1 Chronicles 16:34, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And Psalm 107, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. There it is, all throughout the Word of God. You and I are to have a grateful and a thankful heart and spirit. Psalm 150, did you know that young Jewish boys who wanted to become rabbis had to memorize the entire Psalter? I don't mean one psalm. I don't mean three psalms. They had to memorize the entire book, 150 psalms they had to memorize. You think you're struggling with your grocery list? Think about it. I'm talking about 150 psalms. And do you know what the last line of Psalm 150 says? Let everything that what? Has breath praise the Lord. I've often thought about this. What if it was flipped? What if it read this? Let everything that praises the Lord have breath. How long would you be alive? And how long would I be alive? If it was reversed, if that psalm, that last line of Psalm 150 didn't say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, what if it said, let everything that praises the Lord have breath? How long would you be alive? And how long would I be alive? Folks, this is not just about Thanksgiving. This is not just about a turkey being deep for, this is more than that. This is a mindset. This is a way of life beyond the Thanksgiving holiday, beyond, right, getting the turkey and the dressing and seeing family and having an awesome day, right, putting on the stretchy pants at the end of the day for round four, watching the Lions actually win games now, right? Then we're talking about more than just that. This is a mindset, and this is a way of life. Colossians 3 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Of Christ, teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Number 3, and I'm done. What are the benefits of living with an attitude of gratitude? Well, I'm glad you asked. Five things, and I'm done. One, it deepens your relationships. It deepens your relationships. When you're cranky and you're grumpy and you're edgy, your relationships are going to struggle. It's going to be a strain, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your parenting, whether it's at the office, whether it's with your friends, whether it's with those on the ball team that you're with, whether you're in the, doesn't matter. When you have an attitude of gratitude and you're thankful, your relationships are going to do better. They're going to thrive. But when you're ungrateful, when you have a heart of ingratitude and you're grumpy and you're edgy and you're Eeyore all the time, your relationships are going to struggle. And they're not going to flourish. They're not going to thrive. They're going to survive. Having a heart of gratefulness deepens your relationships. Two, it develops your faith. It strengthens your faith. When you're thankful, when you choose in the middle of the storm to say, you know what? I know we're in a storm. I don't see any daylight on the horizon, but I know that I'm in the boat, and I know that Jesus is with me in the boat. Jesus never said that the waters wouldn't be choppy. Jesus never said the storms wouldn't come. What Jesus did say is he would get you safely through to the other side. But when you choose to have a heart of gratitude in the storm, it develops your faith. Third, it depreciates your selfishness. We are sometimes, as believers, very arrogant. Somebody said we're the only folks who can strut sitting down. You know, there's some people that think that, you know, it's amazing I meet people, you know, and they've never had a kid, but yet they write books on parenting. And like, I tell you what, Pastor Jeremy, you tell you what, if you were a godlier parent, your kid wouldn't act that way. Well, that's wonderful. How many kids do you have? Well, I don't have any kids. Call me in 10 years. You know what I mean? Like, there's a matter of spiritual arrogance. You gotta be careful and make sure that when you have a heart of gratitude and a thankful spirit, well, it depreciates your selfishness. Remember Philippians 2? It's a great chapter to memorize. It's the kenosis theory where Jesus, God, he became a man and humbled himself and dwelt among us. And not thinking it was equality to be equal with God, not robbery, he humbled himself to obedience to the cross. When you're grateful and you're thankful, it depreciates your selfishness. Progressive sanctification is just simply this. I am everything, I'm something, I'm nothing, I'm Christ. See that stage of growth there? At first, well, I'm everything. It's all about me. All my selfie is all about me. Well, now, no, I'm something. Actually, I'm nothing. Honestly, I'm Christ. And you see this in the life of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. He was everything, then he was something, then he said, I'm nothing, but he said, ultimately, my identity, I belong to Christ. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a pastor. I'm not going to heaven because of preaching sermons. I'm not going to heaven because I work in a church. I'm going to heaven because when I was 9 years old, I knew I was a sinner. I admitted my sin. I confessed my sin to Jesus Christ. And at the age of 9, he saved me and changed me and picked me up and turned me around and made me a new person. And I'm going to heaven only because of what Christ did for me. And I'm telling you what, you cannot get to heaven on your own. You cannot go to heaven because you're a good person. You only go to heaven because of Christ. And this is the stage of progression. And third, fourth, and last, it demonstrates your salvation. How can we say we're believers and yet live an ungrateful life? How can we say that we're Christians and yet our lives are marked with ungratitude and an ungrateful spirit? God help us. Matthew Henry is a great commentator. I have his commentaries on my shelf. Many pastors and Bible students do as well. He wrote this story, and I'll close with this. One day in his diary, he wrote this. Let me be thankful. He had just gotten robbed. I think you got rough days. Matthew Henry, the great pastor, theologian, and scholar, and commentator, had just gotten accosted and robbed in his diary after being robbed. He said, let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it wasn't much anyway. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. There's always something to be thankful for and thank God for. Amen? So I think as we close today, as Pastor Matt comes, I want to ask you a question today. Are you a thankful person? I'm not asking you when the bills are paid and the health report is all great and relationships are all perfect. I'm not asking you when everything is up and to the right. I'm asking you when things are down and to the left. I'm not asking you, are you thankful on the mountaintop? I'm asking you, are you thankful in the valley? I'm asking myself, are we thankful every day in the mundane, the daily disciplines and the rigors of living and walking the Christian journey? Are we thankful? Not just on the mountain and not just down in the valley, but somewhere in between every single day. Here's Matthew Henry, a great pastor, a great scholar, a great theologian, someone well known, who was walking one day and was abruptly accosted and robbed. They took everything he had, and yet he found a way to be thankful. Church, may we be marked as believers by not as people who have an ungrateful spirit and a heart of ingratitude, but a thankful heart and a heart of gratitude, because we were hell-bound and we were on a way that was not toward heaven. And yet Jesus showed up and changed our life. And no matter what happens on this side of eternity, when we breathe our last, we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever if we know Jesus as our Savior. Amen? There's nothing that can replace that. You can't buy that. You can't borrow it. It's something we can't earn. We don't deserve it. It's a free gift of God. That's why it's called grace. We should be forever thankful for the salvation that we have. And that should mark our lives every day as we walk this pilgrim road. And every single day on this side of eternity until we see Jesus, I end where we began. Be thankful, for this is the will of God for your life in Jesus Christ. Mission point, very clear question. Are you thankful? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you grumble more than you're grateful? Or are you more grateful than you grumble? Today you can be saved. You may be in church, but not be in Christ. I meet people all over who go to church, but they're not going to heaven. They've never given their life to Christ, but they go to church. Folks, going to church is a wonderful thing. But what a tragedy it would be to go to church together, but not go to heaven together. Don't put your faith in membership of a church. Don't put your faith on someone else. You must have your own faith. You must personally repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ to save you. I'm going to ask every head bowed and every eye closed in this moment. Are you saved? I'm asking a question. Have you ever given your life to Christ? If you've never surrendered, if you've never been saved, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. Listen, prayers don't save you. Jesus saves. But I want to just say this prayer. And if you want to ask Christ into your heart, then you can just model this in your own heart right now and talk to God privately, just you and Him, from your heart to His ears. You can just simply pray something very simple like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I've messed up. I know I'm a sinner, and I know I can't save myself. Today I surrender. I give up. Take my life. Save me and change me. For the rest of my days, I do my best to honor you and to live for you.